Merrick Morecambe's son made huge discovery about comedy icon dad.
This is why Gregory Porter is wearing the same hat every time you see him.
Naughty's pop star hasn't aged a day as she makes a huge comeback 17 years after hit single. Hello and welcome to Barely Contained, the online celebrity journalism podcast which traditionally begins each episode with a topical gag, but is recording this one at least 10 days before you hear it, and it's quite conceivable the world may have ended by now. Hello? Hello? If it hasn't, I'm Matt Withers, and I'm joined, as ever, by Chris Beckett.
Hello, Matt. Yes, and may I say, I've really valued our friendship over the last... 20 odd years.
Yeah, we've had a good run at it. You know, very sorry for any of you young people listening, although obviously we've already established that there are no young people listening, and if the world has ended, we're just talking into a void now. So
blame it on the boomers. It's not us.
Yeah. Does Donald Trump count as a boomer?
He does, apparently. He's right at the... He's just hanging on. He's the oldest possible boomer.
Is he? He just creeps in there. So, yeah, if you don't hear this episode, it's largely the fault of him. Everybody in his cabinet, all those people who approved him, and those people who voted for him.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Cheers for that. But if you are still listening, you'll probably want to be cheered up by something that'll bring you down to earth, away from the impending geopolitical doom.
Woohoo!
So we should probably wean ourselves off the misery and have a look and see what some the journalists who haven't been appointed to cover the White House have been doing.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you've got something really current to talk about, Matt.
Yeah, I've got a story from the Daily Express online. It's looking at one of these hip young gunslingers on the entertainment scene. And it's headlined, Eric Morecambe's son made huge discovery about comedy icon dad.
Wow, finger on the pulse.
Yeah, so, you know, this will cheer people up, because I'm looking forward to what this huge discovery is, Chris, because Eric Morecambe left us a long time ago. So what could there be left to discover?
I mean, he left us a legacy of laughter. But yes,
did.
I don't know what else is there yet.
Certainly did. If you want to watch two men make their breakfast in a slightly amusing way to some upbeat music, that's what they left us.
That's, you know, we'll miss them. We'll miss them.
Should also say, I mean, we haven't for a while mentioned bylines on this podcast, but this one's bylined Jess Phillips, and you think she's got better things to do?
Yeah. To be fair, it's a nifty bit of moonlighting.
Yeah, and by day, I think she's a government minister for a sort of safeguard against sheep, but by evening, she's knocking out page leads for the Express. The stand first is one half of comedy duo Morecambe and Wise. Eric died in 1984 at the age of just 58, leaving behind two sons and a daughter.
God, very, very factual stand first.
It's a very Wikipedia stand first, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eric Morecambe's son made a huge discovery about his comedy star father when researching his book.
How big? How big was the discovery, Matt?
Well, it's huge in the headline and it's huge in the intro. So,
my expectations are rising.
Eric, one half of comedy duo Morecambe and Wise with his professional partner Ernie Wise, sadly died at the age of just 58 in May 1984. Leaving behind three children. Yeah, it's okay. We all have access to Wikipedia.
Just delicately weaving in the facts. Just such a light touch.
He shared sons Gary and Stephen and daughter Gail with his wife Joan Bartlett, who he married in 1952.
Ah.
It's, I feel it's quite a modern thing in show business repertoire to claim that stars shared their children with their wives. I mean, you
Yes.
just have them, don't you? You just
Yeah.
have
He wouldn't have been in for any of the sharing.
them. To be fair, in those days, I don't think the dads had much to do with it, but we don't know. We don't know. We're speculating. But it was only when researching for his father's biography, You'll Miss Me When I'm Gone, that Gary made a discovery about his dad. He confessed, there's always something new to find out about his incredible comedy career.
What could it be, Matt? What could it be? Did he hang on? He didn't need glasses.
Yeah.
He didn't actually like sunshine.
He fucking loathed it. He refused to go out unless there was drizzle, and even then he lathered on factor 50.
That little clicking heels, that was all fake. I don't know how they did it. It pre-AI, but it wasn't real.
All done in post-production.
Exactly.
In an interview for morecambeandwise.com, he admitted, so it's obviously something a bit bad here because he admitted it. There seems to always be something new to discover about the boys.
I think that's a huge relief to the runners of Morecambeandwise.com.
Yeah, I imagine they have an editorial conference at 9:15 every morning,
Yeah.
and they go, "Please let this be the date as some breaking news." Oh, one of the most fascinating elements for me personally in researching this book, and it was an absolute first, was returning to Morecambe and interviewing several former dance classmates and school chums of Eric.
Okay, I'm sure they'll have some great revelations.
Great revelations coming up. Not only did it give me an insight into his childhood, but also to his personality and that of his parents. Those interviews, for which I'm eternally grateful, transformed me to a place where I'd never been before, namely Eric's background and general upbringing.
Okay, transformed me to a place. Let's gloss over that. His
Yeah.
general upbringing.
Yeah.
This is, yeah. When are these insights coming?
I know. Also, he refers to his dad by his first name, and the only person that we know that does that is Bart Simpson.
That's true.
He added, aligned to this was meeting up with someone in showbiz who was not only down the mines with Eric as a boy, but who shared digs with him. Fascinating stuff. I think now that I have the clearest and fullest picture of Eric's life to date, and I hope that comes across in the text.
Oh, so someone who was down the mines with him and in digs. I can't wait to hear the tales he's got to tell.
This is going to be pretty exciting. There's going to be twists, there's going to be turns, there's going to be revelations. But first, Chris, there's going to be more Wikipedia. Born in 1926, Eric grew up in Morecambe, Lancashire, and met his comedy partner Ernie through amateur theatre. The pair were separated, however, when it came to their war service in the latter years of World War II, with Wise joining the Merchant Navy and Morecambe acting as a Bevan boy and coal miner in 1944.
Okay.
The book uses father's old diaries to give a perspective from his own point of view, plus a piece of fiction written by Gary's dad.
So Gary's dad, Eric Morecambe.
Gary's dad would be Eric Morecambe. Now, you're probably very excited, Chris, as to how this goes on.
Yeah, what happens next?
Nothing. That is the end of that story. So
What?
it is headlined, Eric Morecambe's son made huge discovery about comedy icon dad. We find out in the intro that there was a huge discovery. We're teased that he finds somebody who was down the mines with him and shared digs with him, and then it ends.
Yeah.
There's a couple of comments here. Pino Dad says, question mark, 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 question mark. And Tonsils 2 says, and the huge discovery was.
They speak for us all.
Oh, there's a couple of more.
Nope.
Spanish Red said, "I'm missing the huge discovery made about him." You and us both, Spanish
Yep.
Red. There's somebody else whose comment is far too long to go into.
Okay.
But he does. Basically, one of his friends lived next door to Eric in Harpenden, and from time to time he'd come round for Christmas parties. Basically, I'm telling you the whole tale here, having said that I wouldn't do
Okay.
that.
Yeah. It's a huge discovery.
There's a huge discovery. We don't know what it is. Normally, with these kind of stories, they say, if you want to know what a huge discovery is, this is when the book's out and what it's called. None of that. There's just no information in there
Yeah.
whatsoever. Absolutely none.
Great. Well, I mean, Matt, at least with this next story, I can promise you a setup and a resolution.
Well, I mean, that would be something in these days of disinformation.
Yeah. And this is from a rare appearance from the Metro. And the headline is, "This is why Gregory Porter is wearing the same hat every time you see him."
Yep. I mean, I don't know about you, Chris. I see him all the time. I see him in the shops.
Yeah.
I see him down the Greyhound track. I see him when I'm out running.
Always with a hat.
He's always got the hat on, and fair enough. It's a cold time of year.
It is. It is. Okay, let's kick this off. Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Gregory Porter has built up a huge following of fans worldwide with his soulful jazz music and unmistakable baritone voice. The 53-year-old has twice won the Grammy Award for Best Jazz Vocal Album, first in 2014 for Liquid Spirit, and then again in 2017 for Take Me to the Alley. Has just been unveiled as the runner-up on 2025's The Masked Singer UK.
It's the thing he's most proud of.
Yeah, I think they slightly bungled that part,
Yeah.
but never mind. After weeks of guesses, it was revealed that Gregory was the man behind the dressed crab
I
mask.
tell you what, if burglars broke into his house, he'd say, "Take my Grammys, but leave me with my prize for the Masked Singer UK.
Yeah, I want my
I want my dress crab
crustacean
mask."
mask. His public appearances often leave viewers wondering why he is always seen wearing a flat cap, modified to include a balaclava-style strap that runs under his chin.
I mean, do they though? I mean, surely there's a lot of celebrities who always wear a hat. I mean, the entire cast from Last of the Summer Wine. You don't see them
Yeah?
much these days, obviously, but
No?
no one ever questioned. Nobody ever said, "Why's Foggy always got that hat on?"
Vinnie Jones is now very partial to a flat cap.
Vinnie Jones is wedded to his cap. You wouldn't question it.
No,
He'd put a reducer in on you.
he would. The same question arose when he performed the Princess of Wales's carol service on Christmas Eve last year. He joined fellow singers such as Paloma Faith for the annual Together, annual Together? Oh, sorry, the annual Together at Christmas event at Westminster Abbey, also attended by the Prince of Wales and their three children. So, why does a Sacramento-born musician always wear a hat?
I'd just like to point out an error in that last part. It says, but talks about Paloma Faith and then the Prince of Wales and their three children. That tends to suggest that the Prince of Wales's three children were with Paloma Faith. And that's the bigger story, I suggest,
Yes.
if that's true.
Oh, crumbs.
You
Yeah.
know, I don't know. Do you want the truth or something beautiful? That was the
Oh,
name of
well.
her first album.
Oh, no. Oh, nice. Nice.
That was a deep cut.
There is. Yeah. Oh, there's nothing sweet about you.
Yeah,
That was more tenuous, but never mind. Okay, anyway, are you ready? New headline: Why does Gregory Porter wear a hat?
why do anyone wear a hat?
Goodness gracious, won't they leave him alone? Okay, well, there's no big mystery. Well, you could have fooled us. You've asked the question about six times. Gregory began wearing the hat, actually a Kangol Summer Spitfire with a modified strap, to cover up scars he has after undergoing skin surgery.
So basically, the whole thing is a piece of highly cynical search engine optimization.
Yeah.
It's pretty appalling, really.
It is, yeah. I mean, what? I mean, now it just features a few excerpts from past interviews where he talks about why he wears his hat. And
Yeah,
it ends with saying,
for many years ago, I think one's from Jazz Weekly in 2012.
yeah.
I mean, it also says he admitted, like, it's a scandal. Wear a hat. Nothing wrong with wearing a hat. I mean, I'm partial to a hat, Chris. I don't think I've ever seen you sporting a Tipfer.
No, I'm not much of a hat wearer, but yeah, I have no problem at all with anyone who wants to wear one.
Do you own a hat?
Yeah, I do. I own a little kind of, sort of Jeffrey Boycott style summer hat
Oh, for special occasions.
for special occasions when I'm invited on Test Match Special. What I like, and obviously skipping a little bit here because, I think we've cut to the chase, but the final sentence of this story is a great one. He also likes wearing a hat and has insisted it never gets itchy, hot, or uncomfortable.
He has insisted. He's not
It's
said. He's not
insisted.
said. He has insisted it never gets itchy, hot, or uncomfortable. And best of all,
Matt.
it's underneath it. It says, if you've got a celebrity story, video, or pictures, get in touch with the metro.co.uk entertainment team. And it gives you the email address and phone. I'd love to know who answers that phone. If you were to
Oh.
ring up and go, I just got some information about a celebrity I've seen wearing a hat.
Yes. Well, God, you could do that for all kinds of people, couldn't
Oh my
you?
God, we should do that record. Because, yeah,
Yeah.
hi, is that Metro? Yeah, I've just seen Dermot O'Leary wearing a hat. Are
Yeah.
you going to pay me?
Goodness gracious. But there's one comment on this story, Matt, and it's by Kelly 2024, and it just reads, he has a lovely voice.
And I think that is the point.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, what the only thing I find a little bit difficult reading that is that two people liked it and one person didn't like it. And I would say, Matt, he very much definitely does have a very lovely voice.
Yeah, I mean, it's indisputable, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, who's marking that down? No doubt,
Mick.
one of his rivals on the Mass Singer.
Yeah.
I don't know who they were because I've never seen it, but one of those. Lorraine
We'll
Kelly.
catch up next episode. We'll be all over it.
Finally, Chris, to round up this month's, I've got a story from the Daily Mail Online, and it's headlined Naughty's Pop Star Hasn't Aged a Day as She Makes a Huge Comeback 17 Years After Hit Single.
Ooh, who could it be?
I'm
Should we
very excited
guess?
about this because I think, like myself, Chris, you're a man who enjoyed the music of the noughties. We were both round
Yeah.
in those days, keeping our ears on the hit parade. So who could this be? It starts
Who's it?
off almost 2 decades on from her smash hit song, Michelle McKenna doesn't seem to have aged a single day.
It's not ringing an immediate bell,
Not
I'll be
ringing any bells
honest.
for me. Not ringing any bells for me. I've no idea who Michelle McKenna is, but I'm pretty confident that the second paragraph will fill us in.
Yeah.
The star rose to fame as a singer in the late 2000s as part of the Manchester-based urban dance group Platinum. That's Platinum without the I, because that's the way the Northerner would say it.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
Because
So
Northerners are busy people, they haven't got time to say that I.
we are both from the north of England.
Yeah, I mean, you're posh
And I
bit, but.
think because of that, we've probably had a bit of an affinity for, musicians that have come from, our area of the country.
I mean, I have been known to hang around in my youth for Affleck's Palace in Manchester. So, you know, I it's possible I came across these people,
The Night and Day Cafe is no stranger to us,
but
but
I do not run the
Platinum.
Michelle McConnell or Platinum.
Platinum, on the other hand.
Joined by Aaron Evers and Mina Poley, the group released music and often appeared on tracks with other big names. Other big names, like they
Other
were
big
big
names.
names. Yeah.
Doing an insane amount of lifting there. I mean, I was tempted to say, oh, Aaron Evers and Mina Polly. Now I get it.
Yeah. At the height of their fame, they also toured with N-Dubs, with Michelle remaining good friends with Talista Kontostavlos.
Right, now we're sort of steering it back to the shore.
Yep, I still, I mean, I, you know, I know, I say I know of N-Dubs. I don't know them, you know, I don't knock around with them.
You're familiar with Dappy.
I know Dappy, of course. I mean, I don't know him in the way, you know, like he's mates with Jim Davidson these days, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, they struck up an unlikely friendship after appearing on Celebrity Big Brother together.
Oh, okay. I
Yeah,
look
no,
forward
that.
to the talk show.
Yeah, no, just genuinely true. Absolutely no. Google it, you'll find that they are pals. They became best known for their this is the group, not Dappy and Jim Davidson. They became best known for their 2008 chart-topping hit "What's It Gonna Be" in collaboration with H2O, as well as their cover as "Love Shy."
I was getting for a minute, I was confusing H2O, another band I have never heard of, with the popular fruit-based pub drink J2O.
J2O,
I was thinking, what are they doing hanging around with a urban Manchester-based dance band?
imagine, I mean, they could have done it. No, they did it in collaboration with H2O, which is, you know, you can tell that H2O were a band that existed in the days before search engine optimization, because you'd never get away with calling a band that now. After
You wouldn't give them the
Platinum,
oxygen of publicity. No, it's
oh,
water, isn't it?
yeah, it is water. It's
Hang
two parts
on.
of
What am I on about?
that. What you should have said there, Chris, is I wouldn't give them the two parts hydrogen to one part oxygen of publicity.
Oh, nice. It's water off a duck's back, etc.
No, I found myself in conversation last year with an A&R man for. A record label who just that week had come across a band he liked very much called Park Hotel, but was very insistent with them that they had to change their name or they would not be found online.
Yes. Hopefully they changed it to something sensible like Sheraton International.
After Platinum decided to part ways, Michelle transitioned into a solo music career.
Well, she had, I mean, as a Platinum fan, you were just thinking, when is one of them going to break away? In fact, who of the three of them is going to be the Robbie Williams?
Yeah, and I wouldn't, I never would have said, oh, I wonder which of these are going to go solo. I said, oh, I wonder which of these are going to transition into a solo music career. So Michelle transitioned into a solo music career under the name Michelle Platinum, and dropped her single "Darkest Hour" in July last year.
She's still not identifying as famous in any way.
For Valentine's Day this year, the star, I mean, there's no inverted commas on it, but there should be, made a special appearance on radio channel History. I don't know about you, Chris. I'd say radio station.
It's
The
not
Mail's got
Radio
radio
Luxembourg.
channel. She performed her hits and proved she still has that star power she did many years ago.
Decidedly low wattage.
Fans were delighted to see the star, saying she hadn't aged a day and looked as good as ever. Right, this is where I begin to get a bit curious about where
Yes.
I'm not going to accuse anyone of corruption, but it's very odd. I mean, no one is named in this now. So he just goes, taking to Instagram, they wrote, seems like you have aged like fine wine. 40 was older than 2008. Great tune, brings back lots of mad memories. And then it doesn't say the names of anyone. It just goes, she looks and sounds fantastic. Wow, she still sounds so good. She just got better with age. So beautiful.
Posted from the M Platinum channel.
It's a bit odd, isn't it? It's a bit odd. It comes after Michelle and her husband, property developer Daniel Johnston, flew out to Australia to meet her bestie, Talisa, on the I'm a Celebrity bridge. So there's a lot now about Talisa, who is, considerably more famous, I guess. The End Up star took part in the latest season of the ITV1 show and became the third celebrity to be voted out of the jungle. It goes blah, 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 blah. A source told Mail Online they were only in Australia because of Talisa. It felt like they were reveling in the situation and taking liberties with her kindness. Michelle and Daniel were there on a trip funded by ITV and only because of Talisa. They were there because of her, and she trusted them with her social media. Oh, it turns out that they were running the Instagram while she was in the jungle. So that's a bit of controversy there, isn't it? We don't want to delve into that too much, I suspect.
Don't open that Pandora's box.
Do you have access to any of the comments in that story?
Yeah, I do. Well, firstly, you've got Lady of the Lakes in Cumbria who says, "I lived and loved noughties pop music, but I've never heard of her or the band."
Fair enough.
And then Curse says, "It's absolutely correct. She has not aged a day. She's aged 17 years." Someone has typed thumbs up if you have no idea who this is, and it has had 111 thumbs ups and just one
Wow.
thumbs down.
That's harsh, isn't it? I mean, I presume that's as many copies she sold as the most recent single. Well, I mean, I don't want to stick my neck out here, Chris, because I'm still recording this as you are at the moment, and I've not done any of the editing on this, but I just do wonder if a clip from her new single Darkest Hour might
Oh,
follow this episode.
in difficult times, I think that's what it's what we need.
Yeah, but there'll be no more than 10 seconds because then we'd have to pay
Yes,
her.
there would be nothing more galling than having to pay someone that you actually haven't heard of.
That might be something to look forward to, but basically, no guarantees. I've no idea if it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, that has been a lovely jump into spring, hasn't it?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, have you enjoyed that?
I have actually, yeah.
I love your surprise.
Sorry to sound so surprised.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough, isn't it? It's been slim pickings, but there's yeah, no, some good stuff there.
I think so.
I mean, you listen to this, listener, it must be March, so it is spring. And next episode will be April Fool's Day, if that's still a
Oh,
thing.
yeah.
Do join us then. But if you can't wait until then, Chris, what should one do in the realm of the old social media?
In the realm of the old social media. Well, let's start at the bottom. You can visit us on X still, I believe, at barely underscore pod. But moving swiftly on, you can also go to Facebook, Barely Contain the Podcast, which has a lot of, a full archive basically, and some bonus content as well. And then, well, there's plenty of other places too, aren't there, Matt?
Yeah, if you for some reason feel discontent with the current government of the United States of America, then perhaps you may choose to move away from X and move to to Blue Sky. You'll find us on Blue Sky if you just Google, if you just search. Google are almost as bad, aren't they? He was at the he
Are
was
we
at
on
the
Truth Social?
you won't find us on Truth Social just yet, but it's only a matter of time until we're all forced at gunpoint, like Squid Game. But
Are we on
before
Sputnik?
then, yeah, before then, you will find us on Blue Sky. More seriously though, on the old podcatchers, please do subscribe to us and whatever your podcatcher of choice. If you listen to this on Apple or Amazon or Spotify or YouTube Music, or it doesn't really matter, we're on all of them. We're also on the actual YouTube in a semi-visual format. Please do give us a subscription, give us a rating, 5 stars please, and a little review would be lovely and much appreciated. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's it for me.
And from me as well. Thank you very, very much, Matt. It's been a pleasure as always. And
Oh.
yeah, thank you, listeners.
Thank you very much, listeners. What could be coming up next? Bye bye.
Bye.